This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. And there is a major storm heading for North Carolina. This is the same North Carolina, by the way, that in 2012 commissioned a scientific study of the consequences of climate change. And the this was the science panel of the North Carolina Coastal Resources Commissioner. And they sat down with a group of scientists, not liberal scientists. I realize, you know, there are some conservatives who don't believe in science. They think the world is only 6,000 years old. Climate change is not happening. And humans, you know, we all came here via stork. But the reality is climate change is real. And when the North Carolina Coastal Research Commission 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, released this report saying that climate change was going to essentially alter the coastline, the developers in North Carolina freaked out. And they took their money, as the Supreme Court has said they can do, to the Republican Party in North Carolina and the North Carolina legislators and said, here, have some money, make this go away. And sure enough, the legislators in the General Assembly of North Carolina in 2012 passed a law making it illegal for towns, cities, counties, any community in North Carolina to use the information in this scientific report that the state of North Carolina paid for, to use that information for any kind of planning purposes. In other words, you can't stop developers from building houses that they can sell at a huge profit right now to gullible people who don't realize that that house may well be underwater in 30 years. Or even in 10 years, you're going to start seeing, you know, regular flooding events that are going to wipe it out. No, you can't do that. And meanwhile, this is pretty amazing. This could be, we'll see, it could be one of the most powerful storms of our lifetime. It certainly looked like it was yesterday. It looks now like it might be coming down to a level 3 where it hits instead of coming in as a level 4. But this is again, Dr. Stan Riggs. He was a marine geologist at East Carolina University. And he was a member of a North Carolina Scientific Advisory Board. He lives in his campus office is in Greenville, North Carolina, a city that was 6 feet underwater in Hurricane Floyd in 1999. And he told Will Bunch, who wrote for CommonDreams.org, he said, quote, North Carolina had a plan to deal with sea level and climate change, but they took it off the table and pulled the rug out from under the scientific panel. A year and a half ago, Riggs quit the advisory board rather than constantly changing things to make the so-called pro-development Republicans happy. He again told Will Bunch, I'm an older person. I'm not wasting any more of my life on BS. Only he didn't just use the letters. And this is what's happening, right? This is what's happening right now. We've got major climate disasters. And this is, by the way, it's real. This is from the NASA website. Let's just go to our federal government, right? The NASA website. The website is climate.nasa.gov/evidence. climate.nasa.gov/evidence. Scientific evidence for warming of the climate system is unequivocal. It is the result of human activity since the mid-20th century and proceeding at a rate that is unprecedented over decades to millennia. In other words, there has never been a time when the world warmed this fast over a period of tens of years or even thousands of years. At least, presumably, within the context of the lifespan of the human species. Back again to NASA's website, the heat-trapping nature of carbon dioxide and other gases was demonstrated in the mid-19th century. The current warming is occurring roughly 10 times faster than the average rate of ice age recovery warming. This is, you know, from 10,000 years ago at the end of the ice age. That was natural climate change we're running 10 times faster than natural climate change that completely altered the face of the planet. Our temperature has risen 1.62 degrees Fahrenheit, 9/10 of a degree Celsius, since the late 19th century, quoting from the NASA website. Driven largely by increased carbon dioxide and other human-made emissions into the atmosphere. Most of the warming occurred in the last 35 years, with the five warmest years on record taking place since 2010. 2016 was the warmest year on record, 8 of the 12 months that make up the year from January through September, with the exception of June, were the warmest on record for those respective months. So, and it goes on from there, but obviously the climate website at NASA has not been updated since 2016 because Trump came in and said, hey, I'm taking money from developers, I'm taking money from the oil industry, I'm taking money from the fossil fuel industry. The Republican Party is supported in large part by the fossil fuel industry, so what if they're killing us all? It's the same position the Republicans took on asbestos for decades. So what if it's killing people? They give us money. It's the same position Republicans took on tobacco. It's why, you know, seven tobacco executives, or maybe it was five, lied to Congress, lied right to their faces. In fact, the guy they lied to was my senator from Oregon, Ron Wyden. They lied right to his face and said, no, tobacco isn't addictive as far as I know. Right. So why did the Republican Party let the tobacco industry get away with this for so long? Because they were taking their money. You know, every Republican office in the United States should have a red light out in front. In the old days when the houses of ill repute had red lights. Yes, we'll do it for money. Climate change, no problem. We'll knock it down for money. Tobacco, no problem. Just give us some money. Fossil fuels, no problem. You know, pipelines, poisoning people, defouling the waters, destroying historical sites, indigenous sites. Just give us the money. We'll make it happen. We don't care, we're Republicans. We sell out to whoever gives us the most money. Rush Limbaugh. You know, Ken Vogel did a piece in Politico a couple years ago about how Limbaugh's and Hannity and a bunch of the other right-wing hosts are literally getting millions of dollars a year, essentially under the table via the Heritage Foundation and other right-wing groups. And of course, you know, they're largely funded by the Kochs, who are in the business of what? Fossil fuels. And so Limbaugh comes out yesterday. The forecast of the destruction potential and gloom is all to heighten the belief in climate change. Hurricanes and hurricane forecasting is like much else that the left has gotten its hands on, and they politicize these things. Now let me get this straight. All the scientists agree, and I mean literally all the scientists agree. People say, it's 98% consensus. If you're looking at actual scientists, actual peer-reviewed publications, actual credible scientists, all the scientists agree. Climate change is real and it's being caused by human beings. So when a political party takes money from an industry that is causing a problem, this the same thing is happening with Big Pharma. We're going to talk about that in the second or third hour of the program today. But when a political party decides to take money from an industry and push legislation and policy that is the opposite of what the science says, and then there's shills like Limbaugh come out and, you know, also taking money from these industries, indirectly it may be, but still there it is. And then these shills come out and go, they're trying to politicize this. Those Democrats who want to rely on science, they're just politicizing this issue. And I'm sorry, the world is warming. It actually is warming. And it's a real tragedy that in North Carolina, the scientists who are, you know, issuing the alarm are having to resign from the panel because the General Assembly, the North Carolina legislature, passed a law saying that towns in North Carolina may not by law rely on scientific information provided by the state of North Carolina. This is how breathtaking the corruption in the Republican Party is.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The Republican Party is not just a wholly owned subsidiary of, you know, the tobacco and the fossil fuel. They're a wholly owned subsidiary of anybody who will give them money. And welcome back. pick up some of your phone calls here. Mike in Los Angeles, listening, or in Lomita, California, excuse me, listening on KPFK. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, just want to talk about the petition to impeach Judge Kavanaugh for perjury.
Yes.
And I wanted to raise the fact that the perjury he's alleged to have committed was over receiving stolen property. Now, as anyone knows who has seen Make Mine Mink, the word for somebody who receives stolen property is a fence, and fences make very good neighbors but very poor judges.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't heard Kavanaugh referred to as a fence, but it's interesting. Jeff Merkley is going to be on the third hour of our program today talking in part about this and also about the whole disaster of money being taken away from FEMA and given to ICE to build more private for-profit prisons for little children. Kavanaugh is bizarre. I mean, he's just bizarre. This guy, lying through his teeth and believing that he's going to get away with it. I don't see how people can put up with it.
He must think he's a tobacco executive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's the thing. The Republican Party, I just went through a list of toxic industries. One of the things that was not on my list and certainly should have been is toxic religion. You've got these right-wing crazies and who actually believe in original sin. They think women are the cause of all our problems. The fact that we are born out of a woman's womb means that we are covered in that original sin, and women have to be restrained and controlled and regulated, and their bodies regulated because of that original sin, which can only be removed by becoming, proclaiming Christianity, etc. It is a bizarre and misogynistic worldview, and basically, the core of Judaism and Christianity is misogyny, is male power, male supremacy. And Brett Kavanaugh is like it's one of its most articulate spokespeople right now. It's incredible. Mike, thanks a lot for the call. I need to move along here. I appreciate it. Marta in Big Bear Lake, California. Hey, Marta, what's up?
Well, little complex or related question. Are the Democratic politicians, especially our leaders, focusing enough on this issue, which we should, I believe, call global climate disruption instead of change?
Yeah.
Climate change, and I've heard that. Are they really emphasizing this, or are they, and the liberal media too? You're the only one I'm hearing that is really informing us.
That's because there's no such thing as a liberal media unless you're talking about KPFK or Free Speech TV, Pacifica. Here's your liberal media right here. But yeah, you're right.
Well, you are the definition of, not just you personally, but your show is the definition of progressive media. And I don't hear anything except obsession with Trump, Russia, and Kavanaugh, which are all important. But this, this is what is the crisis that allows us to consider the difference between Republicans and Democrats. And this is why people vote Green Party and Jill Stein, because this is a crisis, and the Democrats are not focusing on this.
I believe, my read, Marta, of the Democratic Party is that they are all over climate change. The large problem that we have is that the media won't pick those stories up. Mark Pocan does a thing on climate change. It doesn't get picked up by any of the media whatsoever. So, Marta, we all need to pay more attention to it. Thank you. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And there's another topic here that I want to bring up and just rant about for a moment, and then we'll pick up your phone calls and we can talk about all this stuff today. Just a heads up as we go through the program. In our first hour here, I really want to get into climate change and profit-driven pharmaceuticals and ask the question, is this even appropriate in a capitalist system? In our second hour, we're going to be talking about Trump and the GOP lying to us about Social Security and why that's a big deal. And Jeff Merkley is going to drop by toward the end of that second hour and talk with us about the money that is being diverted away from FEMA into ICE to build detention facilities for children. And in our third hour, Gitmo is back for kids. Of course, we will expand on that. But this whole pharmaceutical thing is absolutely bizarre. Here's this guy. He is the founder and CEO of Nostrum Pharmaceuticals. And he's saying that Martin Shkreli, remember Pharma Bro, the guy who did a 5,000% increase in the price of a critical AIDS drug because he knew he could get it because people would die without it. And so they would beg, borrow, or steal the money. He's speaking well of Martin Shkreli. He says, I agree with Martin Shkreli that when he raised the price of his drug, he was within his rights because he had to reward his shareholders. Martin Shkreli, of course, is in prison right now, but not for this. He's in prison for fraud in his hedge fund. But this guy, his name is Nirmal Mulye, N-I-R-M-A-L-M-U-L-Y-E. And his company makes a drug called nitrofurantoin, if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm just pronouncing it phonetically. And it was selling it. It's an essential antibiotic. In fact, the World Health Organization lists it as one of the most essential medicines for lower urinary tract infections, which can be deadly. And this drug was selling for $500 a bottle. He just raised the price to $2,300 a bottle. So if you get a UTI, a urinary tract infection, and your doctor thinks you should be taking this drug, get ready, $2,300. The guy talks to the Financial Times and said that his decision to increase this price, he says, this is the same as an art dealer who sells a painting for $500 million. And I'm in this business to make money. In fact, here's a verbatim quote. I think it is a moral requirement to make money when you can, to sell the product for the highest price. That's his quote from the Financial Times today. And, I mean, this is how bad it is, right? Not only is the Republican Party just fine with all this kind of thing, as we well know. I mean, you know, keep in mind, Billy Towson, the congressman from Louisiana, who, you know, came on this program and talked about this back years ago. The Republicans were working with the Democrats to put together Medicare Part D. Medicare Part D was going to allow people who are on Medicare to have their prescription drugs paid for. And because the government was going to start paying for billions of dollars worth of pharmaceuticals, I think probably hundreds of billions of dollars worth of pharmaceuticals, because the government was about to begin paying for those things, the Democrats said, hey, you know, let's do bulk buying. You know, the Veterans Administration, when they buy penicillin, they don't pay a dollar a pill, you know, retail, what you'd pay at the drugstore, or $5 a pill, hyper-retail, what you pay in a hospital for that. The Veterans Administration doesn't pay that kind of money. They pay a penny a pill or thereabouts. Why? Because they're bulk buying. They're going into the pharmaceutical manufacturers and they're saying, you know, we're going to buy a million pills over the course of the next 12 months, so give us the million pill price. Oh, that's a penny a pill. And so Billy Towson comes along, this Republican from Louisiana, and says, no, wait a minute. We've got to write into the Medicare law that it's against the law for the people who run Medicare to have that conversation with the drug company. It's against the law for them to negotiate prices. They have to buy, Medicare has to buy its drugs at the full retail price, even though they're buying hundreds of billions of dollars worth of drugs. Now, why would you do this? Obviously, it's a subsidy to the drug companies. And guess what Billy Towson did right after he passed that? He went to whoever was Speaker of the House at the time, and it might have been Paul Ryan, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't. But anyhow, he went to the Speaker of the House, I think it was Denny Hastert, and said, I would like you to release me from being a congressman without penalty so that I can take a $2 million a year job as the head of the pharmaceutical lobby, pharma. And they said, fine. Republicans said, fine, no problem. Go for it, Billy. So you've got the Republican Party again as an institution and basically every Republican out there saying, yes, let's screw the seniors. Let's screw the federal government. Let's hurt Medicaid and Medicare, both of them. And let's help the profits of the pharmaceutical industry, including this guy, Nirmal Mulye, who just raised the price of an essential urinary tract antibiotic from $500 a bottle to $2,300 a bottle because he could. simply because he could. No research, no costs, just because he could.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
And, of course, a big chunk of that cash is going to end up in Nirmal's personal pocket, of course. We'll be back with your calls after this. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Louise just told me that she had three people call in just as the first minutes of the show saying, I'd like to be on with Congressman Pocan today. He's normally here on Wednesday. He can't do it today because there's a schedule conflict. He will be on tomorrow. So just FYI, our Middays with Mark will roll on. Steve in Brunswick, Georgia. Am I saying that right, Steve, watching Free Speech TV?
It's Brunswick, Georgia.
Brunswick, I'm sorry. I've been to Brunswick, Georgia. So what's on your mind, Steve?
Okay. Tom, I just heard you talking about nitrofurantoin.
Yes.
And 52 years ago, I was a drug salesman for a company called the Eaton Laboratories. It was a division of Norwich Pharmacal.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold the nitrofurantoins. I sold the drug. I'm pretty sure it was called furoxone liquid, and it was for intestinal problems. It's a bactericidal drug, and I'm sure that drug is way, way, way off patent.
Yeah, I believe his company, just like Shrelly's company, is a so-called generic drug company. It's just that what's happened is that the generic drug companies are basically, this is what's called a monopsony, where companies carve out their little corners of an industry and they essentially agree not to compete with each other. That's what's going on here, in my opinion.
Okay, I gotcha. The thing that I wanted to mention to you is that drug, when I was in my 20s when I sold it, I was right out of I was in Vietnam. It was 1966,
mm-hmm.
and I was selling that drug, and they make a whole series of generic drugs from the nitrofurantoins, and that is not a patented drug. That is way, way off patent.
Yep.
And somebody should go in there because it's not an expensive drug to make.
Yeah, and that's the problem is getting entry into the marketplace. First of all, there's substantial costs to start a pharmaceutical company, as you well know. All the regulatory costs and the manufacturing, and it's not like opening a McDonald's. And then once you've got that in place, then you've got to get there's these middlemen, and perhaps the name of what they are and what they do. But there are these middlemen in the and women presumably in the supply chain who are between the drug companies and the hospitals, between the drug companies and the pharmacies. And I think they might be called pharmacy managers, but whatever. And they basically decide, what the formulary is going to be, what drugs are going to be sold, and from what companies. And so, if you don't have an in there, then your drug doesn't make it to market.
Well, I mean, this is not something that they invented. This is invented by a company called the Eaton Laboratories, a division of Norwich Pharmacal.
Right.
Which I don't think is in business anymore, but that is not an expensive drug to make, and I'm sure anybody. I don't think that they've been able to repatent it. Not if it's going under the name of nitrofurantoin.
No, this is as I said, this is just generic. Steve, thanks for sharing your experience and your story with us. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you, Brad in Chicago. Hey, Brad, thanks for listening to Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT. You wanted to talk about climate change.
Great to be on. Here's my comment, and it goes like this. I have a relative who's a very strong Trump supporter and alleged Christian, and I don't talk to this relative, but what they said about climate change was God can get us out of it. And I tell them, God's not coming. God will come on Judgment Day, not before. He leaves us here to make our own fate, and that's basically my comment. And anybody who, I think a lot of Christians believe somehow God is going to get us out of it. Therefore, we can do anything we want to the climate.
Well, and this is not a new argument, Brad. Are you old enough to remember James Watt, Ronald Reagan's Interior Secretary?
I remember him. I don't remember the arguments he made at the
time. Here's, and he said this right out in front of the world. I mean, you know, this was, I believe this was in a news conference. I remember it quite vividly from the 80s. I was just absolutely shocked by it. James Watt was selling off public lands to oil and gas drilling companies and to mining companies, particularly uranium mining companies, for literally pennies on the dollar. These companies,
you know,
they would invest a few million dollars and they'd get literally billions of dollars worth of our natural resources that used to be on our public lands. And by the way, Ryan Zinke is doing the same thing right now. That was what cutting up bear's ears was all about, was, you know, uranium mining. When he was confronted about it, when James Watt was confronted about it, why are you selling off these public lands? They're going to be despoiled. You know, they're going to be ruined by these mining and drilling operations. And he said, don't worry, Jesus is coming back soon, and when he returns, he will make all things new. It will all be restored. Honest to God.
Oh, my.
I mean, you can Google this. I'm not making this up. And that was the official position of the Reagan administration, was it doesn't matter what we sell off. It doesn't matter how we destroy public lands. God's going to fix it all. So your relative is not, you know, some wild-eyed crackpot. Well, maybe he is, but he's not following some recently invented Alex Jones conspiracy theory. This tracks back to the Reagan administration and probably well before that, although Reagan was, I believe, the first president, certainly in my lifetime, I think the first president since Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover, who put, you know, just such hardcore right-wing cranks into the cabinet.
So. I don't know if I could just add one other thing. I think Trump's creating chaos to get to an anarchy state where the martial law can be imposed, and then we can have totalitarianism. That's the only other thing I'd like to say that you could maybe think about in your third hour.
Yeah, a year and a half ago, I would have suggested that was conspiracy crazy talk. I can no longer suggest that, Brad. I think that there's a very real possibility that Trump actually does believe that chaos works. He uses chaos in business. He's using chaos now in government. And that, you know, a militarized state is the end goal of Trump. I'm perfectly willing to believe that at this point. Brad, thanks for the call. You know, powerful, powerful stuff. Adam in Chicago. Hey, Adam, what's up?
Hi there, Tom. Big fan. I am a former free market. Like, hey, healthcare is the free market, let's do that. And I have, I'd say I've recently changed to being right on board with the Bernie, you know, Medicare for All bandwagon after I started doing some digging into how much my insurance company marked up my Crohn's disease medication.
Mm-hmm.
I am on infliximab, and I recently got a bill for it. And it's been going up and up and up and up, and I found out that it costs about $675 to make it, and if I went online right now,
this is for a year's supply, presumably.
Oh no, this is just one.
Okay.
One injection. It lasts about 8 weeks.
Wow.
It's an immunosuppressor.
Right.
And I went online and found that I could buy it right now through like Costco's pharmacy for $2,500. Which is still a lot, but okay, $2,500. I recently got a bill from my insurance company, and they charged me about $16,000 for it.
You mean they're paying the drug company $16,000, or they're asking you to pay the drug company $16,000?
Well,
or that's your kosher
company. My insurance company, Blue Cross Blue Shield, covers that.
Okay.
But so I recently called Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I was like, guys, what's up? Like, this is an incredible markup. And I gave them all the numbers, and they said, well, that's the price that we negotiated with the pharmacy to provide it to you. And my response was, well, you work for me.
No, they work for their stockholders. In modern America, I mean, it used to, prior to Reagan changing the rules of how corporations work, yeah, they to a certain extent worked for you. But companies no longer care about their customers. it was, not when they're selling something that you'll die without. They don't care.
Yeah, like the free market is failing us here. It's not working.
Well, this is an area. I mean, healthcare is an area where the so-called free market is. You know, I'm not saying that our pharmaceutical companies should be owned by the government, but they should be regulated, and their ability to price gouge us needs to be aggressively regulated. Let these guys, you know, right now you've got people who are going into the pharmaceutical business because they want to become billionaires. I have no problem if somebody goes into the pharmaceutical business because they want to become a millionaire. They want to make $1 million a year. But if they want to make $1 billion a year or $30 million a year or $50 million, you know, some absurd and obscene amount of money, go make computers, go make blue jeans, go make something that doesn't influence the quality and viability of my life. Those things that have to do with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, this core stuff, the bottom half of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that pyramid, those things either need to be part of the commons and owned collectively, and I don't think that would work for the pharmaceutical industry, or they need to be regulated in a way that the good parts of their behavior accrue benefit to all of us, and the bad parts of their behavior are basically prohibited, that they, you know, that they just can't rip us off. This is obscene. Adam, thanks for your story. It's one of many. Louise just had a very similar experience with the pharmacy just a couple of days ago. And it was one where the company, that the insurance company that pays for the drugs, said, you got to go back to your doctor and have your doctor fill out forms for us to pay for a drug that your doctor has already prescribed. This is nuts.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
But they just didn't want to pay for the more expensive natural version of this thyroid medication instead of the cheaper synthetic one. I mean, it's wrong. Welcome back. John in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom Hartman? Great show.
Thank you.
Look, two things. One,
Hey, John, your phone just went funky, like you got your thumb over the microphone or something. Can you speak right into it or make sure it's not on speaker or whatever?
Now?
Yeah, go for it. Continue.
The Republicans got this all screwed up. First of all, and especially the evangelicals, they're talking about climate change, it isn't real, or God will save us. It's in the Bible. We are supposed to be the husbandry man to the ground. We are supposed to be stewards of and to the earth. It's in the Bible in 30 different places.
Yep.
And I'm not a Christian, but I am a theological scholar. It's in the Bible in over 30 places. That's one.
So we're supposed to be stewards of the earth, which, you know, whether it's in the Bible or not makes good sense. I mean, you don't dump in your own nest. And the entire planet, obviously, is now our nest.
Yeah, we got a similar funky little saying. Yes, but that also entails that we are not supposed to be destroying, wasting.
Yep.
Yep. And it's in the Bible. It's in like 30 different places.
Yep.
And then the second thing I want to say is these guys in a pharmaceutical company, actually, personally, when they make moves like that, they should go to jail. Okay? Because it's advantageous.
Moves like what?
Quality of life.
Moves like what, John?
Moves like raising your truck 700%.
Oh, the pharmaceuticals. Yeah. Yeah, and Shrelly is in jail. John, thank you for the call. Well said. John, Shrelly is in jail, but he's not in jail for this kind of thing, which, frankly, I think he should be. Mark in San Jose, California. Hey, Mark, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's up?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, thanks. Just a quick insurance story. I was a union member, and I was getting my prescriptions for $10 a piece at Kaiser Farmanetti. And then I lost my insurance, and those same drugs at Kaiser cost $600, $700. But I went to Costco, and I got them for about $30, $40. You know, and I know the same thing is happening with Tesla here. You know, the government is putting them out of business.
Wow.
But I'm an English teacher, and I liked your metaphor about a blinking red light, so I wanted to talk about that.
Okay, real quick. We've got 35 seconds.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, I think it gets a little bit lost when you say just Republicans or Democrats, and I'd like you to add that they're lawyers or lawyers' tools, and then we can say the Republicans are global lawyer tools and the Democrats are lawmakers.
That's a good metaphor.
That eliminates that third-party thing, and then when we talk about the bin Laden groups, we can say that Democratic lawyers, special forces, and international cooperation get bin Laden, and Republican lawmakers, illegal wars to start 20-year occupations for contract war profiteers. Let's follow the money.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm fond of just simply saying the Republicans are in favor of the billionaires and big business, and the Democrats are in favor of small business and the average working person. But your metaphor is, you know, clean as a whistle. That's a good one. Mark, thanks a lot for the call. And thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Linda in Auburn, Washington, listening on 91.3 FM, one of our Pacifica affiliates there. Linda, what's up?
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm a non-denominational Christian. I have a YouTube channel called Eco Peace Vision, and I want to encourage everyone to talk to their local cities to reduce methane by following what Amsterdam is doing with a clean garbage incineration facility, and there's a 4-minute YouTube video about it. So they only water vapor. They keep reburning the fumes until only water vapor and obsidian-like solid material that they can use to work with building construction material.
Yeah, this is pretty important stuff, and methane is a big deal. It's between 20 and 80 times more potent a greenhouse gas, whether you're looking at it over a, you know, 1-year horizon or a 10-year horizon. And it's the Trump administration just proposed rule changes that will reduce. Right now, if you run a natural gas, which is methane, a natural gas drilling operation, or you have natural gas pipelines or natural gas wells that have already been drilled and are simply operating, these typically leak a little bit of gas all the time, you know, and some leak a lot more than others, and some drilling processes produce enormous amounts of methane, others are better at it. And so, particularly during the Obama administration, they tightened up these regulations and said, no, you can't pour that much methane into the atmosphere. And it got a little more expensive for the natural gas industry because they had to have tighter seals and, you know, better grommets or whatever they had to do. But the Trump administration is fixing to repeal that and allow much more methane into our atmosphere just from routine drilling and gas pumping operations. And it's so wrong. Well, Linda, spot on. Thank you very much. Maine in Chicago. Hey, Maine, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? Yeah, I was just agreeing with you with the gentleman that raised those prices on those prescriptions. Being that I'm disabled and stuff, and I've been on prescription medication for quite a while, but that shows pure unadulterated, like I said, capitalism. He did that purely for profit. And that's
Creed.
What capitalism is for. They exploit people for profit, and this is exactly what he did.
I agree.
And we need someone. I mean, we need legislation. We need people in there who will put up legislation and issues that are more so for the people and not for the big corporations
I absolutely agree, Maine. And in fact, thank you for cueing a rant for me. You know, if you've ever played Monopoly, when you play Monopoly, there are a couple of places where you can land where, you know, you don't get rich, right? The railroads, the electric company. They're utilities. They only pay $100 a cycle, right? You don't get rich, but you do have a steady, reliable income. I believe that the pharmaceutical industry, we used to regulate railroads and electric utilities and say to them, you can't price gouge. You just can't do it. You can make an honest living, you can make a good living, but you can't price gouge because you are essential to the life of the community. Now, Reagan ended that, and what came out of that was Enron. And some states and some areas have essentially re-regulated their utilities, and about half of the utilities in America are actually owned by the people, you know, the communities that they're in. But, you know, we used to say there are certain kinds of businesses where you can make money. Banking used to be one of them, right? Safe and boring. And then, of course, in 1999, with Phil Graham came along with Graham Leach Bliley and said, let's blow up Glass-Steagall. Let's make some money in banking. We need to make some billionaires. Banking and pharmaceuticals, like our utilities, are industries that, like in that Monopoly game, hey, you get the $100, you know, it's a regular, consistent income, but nobody is getting obscenely rich. If somebody wants to get obscenely rich, let them go compete with Bill Gates. Susan in Mountain Vista, Arkansas, or Mountain Vise, Arkansas. Am I saying that right, Susan, watching us on Free Speech TV?
Oh, it's Mountain View, Tom.
Oh, Mountain View. I'm sorry.
I'm doing great. I love your show. I went into my pharmacy because I have to inject I'm allergic to stuff, and I have to give myself shots.
Mm-hmm.
And the my Part D that I pay for every month, my copay was $26. But if I just walked in to the drugstore and not used my Part D, it was $10.
Right.
$10.
Right. This is it was cycling.
Explain that to me.
This is what the Republicans did with Medicare. Is what they try to do with everything is create in any government program an opportunity for somebody in private industry to make a fortune. And so when they did Medicare Part D, not only did Billy Towson make sure that the government couldn't negotiate for lower prices, but they also created a situation where private for-profit companies become, you know, these pharmacy managers. They become the middlemen between you and the drug companies. I just had the one that insured me drop me because I'd moved from D.C. to Portland, and although I notified them of this three different times, they said, oh, we didn't know this, and that's it, you're gone.
Right.
And it turns out that some of my drugs, you know, I only take a couple, and they're cheaper now. One of them is cheaper now than it was. But these companies are just in the business of making profit. That's all they care about, Susan. They don't care about, you know, whether you get decent drugs at low prices. And they don't have any consequential competition. And you can't sign up until November. Go ahead.
And they just plain lie to you, because when I signed up with this Part D, my copay was never supposed to be more than $3.50.
Yeah.
And it's never been that.
Oh, they do the equivalent of shrink wrap disclosures, you know.
It's a scam.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. Brought to you by Billy Towson and the Republican Party. It is absolutely a scam. It's why the Republicans were behind Medicare Part D. They didn't care that people were getting their drugs. I mean, that was a bonus that might give them a few votes here and there. But really what they were trying to do was hand $600 billion over a 10-year period in extra profit, just in profit, to a small number of people in the pharmaceutical industry who would then cycle large amounts of campaign cash back into the Republican coffers. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.